You know, this time of the year, as we have a holiday, national holiday of Thanksgiving, but we know as Christians, Thanksgiving is not a holiday for us. It's a lifestyle, right? It's a lifestyle. It's how we live every day, giving thanks to God. I will praise your name, David said. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. We thank God every day. And this year, normally we're thanking God for what he's given us and how he's provided for us. But as we're going through this study of Ephesians, we're realizing all that we have in him in the whole realm of life, the physical and the spiritual. And to be thinking this week and this time with our families about, Lord, all that you have given us beyond the material, the things that really mean for life, you know, like love, things that we cannot taste, feel, see, hear, but the things that make for life, encouragement, strength, healing, his presence, his word, his spirit, all these things that make for our life, to be grateful to him for that. Because as we've studied through Ephesians, the first three chapters reveal to us all that we already have in Almighty God. We live in the kingdom of God as Christians. We live in a different realm than the world does. We don't have to approach life any longer the way the world does. We have a king, we have provision, we have life, we have direction, we have purpose. Everything has already been given to us by Christ. Amen? It's in Christ. We have all things in Christ. We can't add to it and we can't detract from it. He's already accomplished these things in our life. And so because he's given us all that we need for life and for godliness, he starts in chapter 4 by saying, therefore, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Of course. Of course, that's what we do. That's the natural thing for us to do because God's Spirit lives within us. Now, the problem is we have this flesh sinful nature in us that battles against the Spirit and wants to keep dragging us back down away from the life we have in Christ. And there's an adversary out there, an enemy called Satan, which I didn't believe in before I was a Christian. I didn't think there was a devil or anything like that. How dumb was I? But there is an adversary out there that sides with our flesh to continually hammering us to think that God is not there and that we don't have all of this and God is not going to provide. So he tries to fill us with fear and anxiety. Anybody struggle with that? See, well, there's a war going on. But that's what we're looking at here in the book of Ephesians. First three chapters reveal to us all that we already have in God, and the next three chapters now reveal to us what we are to do with what we have. Okay, so that's why he says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling, and that verse sets the course for the next four chapters. So last week, Pastor Samuel was teaching us those next few verses, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6, and it talks about unity. And notice what it says there, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It doesn't say be eager to get unity or acquire unity. We already have unity. We all partake already of one Spirit, one Lord, one baptism, one faith. We have the Holy Spirit within us. There is already unity among Christians. God says, be eager to maintain that unity, all right? How do we maintain it? Through love, through forgiveness, through gentleness, through humility, which we already have the ability to do. Isn't that awesome? We already have unity. We have to maintain it, just like maintaining your car. What happens if you don't maintain your car? It starts breaking down, right? What happens if we don't focus on maintaining the unity of the Spirit? It starts breaking down. Very, very similar. So be eager to maintain that unity, what God has already given us. We are already the church. The church consists of God's people whom he has called out of the world and summoned for a definite purpose in his sovereign plan. That's the church. We have goal, we have direction, we have purpose, we have power, we are equipped. Jesus has already given it. All this we have in Christ. In Christ. God is a giving God. God is a giving God, and he's given us all we need. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. Not of our own doing in any way possible, any shape or form. It is a gift from God, not because of any works, so that no one will boast. It goes on to say, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. It says, and I was just reading through the Bible, and I'm in 2 Corinthians now, verse chapter 5. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation, and she is a new creation. New creation. All things passed away. All things become new. So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So in other words, we have grace to be saved, and we have grace to be used. And both and are needed in our life. That's the working of the grace of God in us. He gives us grace, all the resources of God, his absolute unmerited favor in order to belong to him. And then we have grace, his power in our life to do what he's called us to do. That's why the Hebrew word for grace, hen, means literally the stronger coming to the aid of the weaker. If you want a definition of grace, that's a definition of grace. The stronger who has all the resources comes to the aid of the weaker who has no resources. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in what? Our weaknesses. His power is made perfect in our weaknesses. So he's given us all. God knows we're weak. He knows we can be idiotic at times. Maybe not you, but you know people who can be that way that aren't here today, right? He knows. He remembers our frame. We're but dust. We can't do anything. We think we can do a lot, but we can't do anything. We're like little children who think they can do so much. Remember, God never called his people the adults of Israel. Children. We're just like little children. We think we can do more than we can, so we need his grace, okay? And so it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, and these are the verses we're going to go into today, verse 7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. That's a lot right there. We're going to be touching on just a few of these things here this morning. Grace was given to each one of us. This is the power of God. The power of God. And that grace is evidenced in supernatural working in our lives. Things that are above the natural, things that we cannot acquire through education, things that we cannot acquire through experience or by heritage or by DNA. These are supernatural abilities that God gives us. That's why in 2 Corinthians 12, or 1 Corinthians 12, it says that we have spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Now that word there, gifts, is charismaton, which means literally the things resulting from the grace of God. Because charis is the Greek word for grace. So charismata or matan are the things resulting from the grace of God. What are the things resulting from the grace of God? Miracles, healing, word, direction, power. All these things that God gives us are supernatural. How many know we tend to forget that? When Satan succeeds in causing us to forget that, we begin to just walk in the flesh like everybody else, not really understanding that God has given us gifts. He's given us gifts to walk with him. And the gift of God's grace is primarily for the benefit of the church. First to the church, then to the community. But God gives us grace to serve one another, to be a blessing to one another. Let's look at what it says here too. Grace is given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Okay? Gifts are special operations of the Holy Spirit within men resulting from grace. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. Now Paul said in that verse that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy in Psalm 68 verse 18. That prophecy in Psalms was fulfilled in Christ. And if you look back to that, you'll see there's a little bit difference in the wording. In Psalm 68, it says when he ascended on high, and that's talking about his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. He led a host of captives, and in Psalm 68 it says he received gifts from men. Paul here said, and he gave gifts to men. Some people might say that's a contradiction in Scripture. I think it's a fulfillment of Scripture. Because we have a king that deserves all the tributes of every person in this world. And yet he's a giving king. He is a giving king. He receives everything and he gives to his people. That's the nature of Almighty God. And we're going to see that as we go into some other passages here. Jesus fulfilled that prophetic word concerning his resurrection and ascension. So first of all, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives. Now, when you think of the word captive, what is some of the pictures that come up to your mind? Incarceration, torture, POWs, you're captive. You're taken captive by an authority more powerful than you are. All right? Captives. The Bible says that the whole world is in the power of the evil one. Satan is the god of this world. God has given Satan power in this world. And he has got every person by nature captive in his domain, the kingdom of darkness, the domain of darkness. That's where there's confusion, hurt, pain, evil. You wonder why there's evil in the world? Because there's the sinful nature of man and the power of the enemy that keeps us in darkness. Why is America quickly forgetting what Thanksgiving is all about? No. You'll find people today saying, oh, thank my lucky stars. As if they're doing something for you up there. Thank Mother Nature. Or just be thankful. To who? I don't know. Just be thankful. You know, we're losing the meaning of this holiday, which is giving thanks to Almighty God for the blessings that He's poured out on us. And when you come to Christmas, the world doesn't even understand what Christmas is all about. Okay? Christmas, from the world's perspective, is a lot like the job place. You do all the work, and the fat man in the suit gets all the credit. You do all the work, the fat man in the suit gets all the credit. Just like the workplace. See, the world doesn't understand Christmas because they're in the dark. They're in darkness. Praise God that God, because of His mercy, totally undeserving, chose to call His people out of the kingdom of darkness, bring them out, and transfer them into the kingdom of His beloved Son, the kingdom of light. And there was nothing we could have done that would accomplish that. He did it all for us. So now we're walking in the light. We can hold out the words of life and of light to a world that desperately needs to know Jesus. Captives. We were captive by the Lord. But praise God, in Colossians chapter 2:15, it's not in your notes, but Jesus disarmed Satan and the powers and principalities. It says, He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. So we walk in victory now over Satan, over sin, over the kingdom of darkness because of what Christ has given us. That's not something that's tangible. It's something that we walk in. It's freedom. Freedom. And so it says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, I was just there this morning, it says, but thanks be to God who in Christ, and you'll see this over and over again in the Scripture, everything is in Christ. He always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him wherever we go. That verse goes on to say, we as Christians are the aroma of Christ to the world. We're the aroma of Christ. To some, it's the aroma of death. We stink. They want to get away from us at all cost. We make the whole job place, the whole community, the whole group smell bad when Christians are there. To some, it's the aroma of death. But to others, it says, and I love the NIV here, we're the fragrance of life. And they'll say, what is it that you have? I want what you have. What is it? So, and we don't have any control over that aroma. We're just honest and open about our faith in Jesus, just like everyone else is open about what they believe, and that aroma just goes out. But Jesus always leads us in triumph. It says in Romans chapter 8, now we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So we walk in victory. We have victory over that sinful nature, and we have victory over the enemy, but we got to walk in it. We have to appropriate it. Okay? Because Jesus has already given it to us. We already have that power. Before I was a Christian, I was totally deceived. Like all of you. Before we were Christians, we didn't think we needed Christ. Or we thought maybe religion was optional. Or maybe we could attend a church, you know, show up every now and then and have a little bit of spiritual, like a spiritual pacifier. But we didn't understand life. We were absolutely in the dark. Why? Because the God of this world blinds the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the glory of Christ who's made in the image of God. He blinds the eyes. Only God can lift that veil from us. That's all in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So, praise God. We were enslaved, we didn't even know it. And we learned about this in Ephesians 2, where it said, and we went through this months ago, we were dead in our trespasses, dead to God, dead to Him, having no desire for Him, no ability to come to Him, no ability to respond to Him. We are dead, 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 dead. Walking cadavers, all right? Following the prince of the power of the air, the ruler that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. We were joyfully doing that. Following the desires of body and mind. And we're by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. That is our natural state. Praise God that God gave us life. That's a gift from Him. That's something to be thankful for. Every day. You know, if we realize these things, every day has great potential. God is worthy of praise every day. Like Ed shared Psalm 100. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. See, that's a lifestyle. And His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. God has given us life. So Jesus, when He came, He led a host of captives. Isaiah 61 said that when the Messiah would come, He would do many things. It says, the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That means heal the brokenhearted. Heal those who have been wounded. Jesus will do that. He will proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound. Prison to our own selves. Prison to bitterness. Prison to anger. Prisons of fear. Prisons of hatred and prejudice and racism. Prisons of violence, prisons of hopelessness, despair, all those things that keep us bound, prisons of past abuse and neglect and abandonment that just affect all the relationships that we have in life. Jesus sets us free from those things. He sets the captives free. He led a host of captives. How many of us are grateful for that? You know, that's already been done. That's not something that we pray for God to do. He has already done that in our lives. We are now free. For freedom, Christ has set you free, never again to return to the yoke of slavery. That's Galatians chapter 5, right? He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I mean, that's an exclamation point there. We have that already. We have that freedom to walk in Him. Jesus has paid for that through His shed blood on the cross and seal that through His resurrection and ascension into heaven. That's why we stand on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So not only did He lead a host of captives, but it also says here in this passage, and He gave gifts to men. God is a giving God, and God knows that we need it. Isn't it great to receive a gift? I mean, I had a gift given to me last year. My wife bought me a gift. She got me this little GPS watch for golf. Okay? I mean, this is so piddly. So piddly. But, man, I enjoy that. Because I can get out on the course, and I put that little GPS in there, and it tells me just how far that pin is. Mark's looking at me. It doesn't do me that much good, but at least I know where it's at. Go ahead. I see that look, Mark. But, I mean, it just is really cool. It's a gift. I didn't deserve it. It didn't cost me anything. God is a giving God. He gives us gifts just because He loves us. And He wants us to have it. We don't deserve it. It's not something that we get because we achieve it. He's a giver. He gives gifts to men. You know, one of the main gifts that God gave was the gift of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost when He founded the church. Peter said in Acts 2, he says, this, and people were saying, what must we do to be saved? And people said, repent. Repent means change your mind, stop doing the things that are contrary to God, and start choosing the things that God wants us to do. Repent and believe, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift. That's a gift. Hold your finger here. Go to John chapter 16, where Jesus just amplifies this truth. And it's something also that we forget. He gives gifts. The primary, greatest gift that Jesus gave was the Holy Spirit. Here he says in John chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. He's telling his disciples, his followers, so we're talking to Christians here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judge. I still have many things to say to you, Jesus said, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, gift. Jesus said, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit's not going to come. But if I go, I'll send him to you, and it is to your advantage that he comes. Why? Because he's the one that's going to help us. He is the paraclete, the one that comes alongside. He fills us. He transforms our life. He is with us. He is guiding us. And he's the one that makes the truths of God plain to us. We could not understand this word if it was not for the Holy Spirit. He gives us understanding. Thank God for that. That's a gift. You want to be thankful to God in the morning? Look at the Bible, and if you understand anything, say, thank you, Lord. Because if it wasn't for your presence, I wouldn't understand anything in this word. How do we know that? 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he is not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. You wonder why when you talk to people, they just can't get it? Because unless the Holy Spirit works on them, they are not going to get it. And the very fact that we can open up God's Word and open up the Psalms and be fed by that is a work of the Holy Spirit, and we can thank him for that. There is so much. You know, in our world, there's a lot to get us down right now. Man, there are innocent lives being taken. There are evil, terrorism, racism, the terrible attitude our nation has against law enforcement right now. I mean, there's a lot of negative stuff going on. But praise God, he's Lord of all. And as the Christian, we walk in praise. We grieve with those who grieve. We weep with those who weep. But we have a strength and a hope in us that goes beyond what the world knows. Isn't that awesome? Our hope is in Jesus Christ. He is the word of life. It's the word of hope that we have to give to people. Our life here is just not all about this life. It's about the coming one. So Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit that's going to come. It's a gift that he gives us. And every Christian has the Holy Spirit. That's what gives us life. We are new creations in him. So then going back to Ephesians chapter 4, it says, but grace was given to each one of us. So in other words, Paul was saying, as I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, you are not on your own. God has given you what you need. He's equipped you with what you need. And as we get into the other passages, he's equipped us with teachers and leaders and people who care about us. Praise God for that. That's going to be next week. But here he gives gifts to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. And then he explains this a little bit more. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, comma, the earth. the lower regions, the earth. Now, there are some teachers who will say, well, this correlates with 1 Peter chapter 3, where it says Jesus went down into the prison and preached to those in prison. We don't know a lot about what happened between the time Jesus died and his resurrection. There are four different interpretations biblically about what could have been taking place, and all four of them, which we don't have time to get into today, can be substantiated by Scripture. So we don't really know what happened between Friday when Jesus died and Sunday when he rose from the dead. Something was happening. We can't be absolutely sure about it. But one thing we do know, Jesus descended from heaven to earth. And that's what Christmas is all about. Turn with me to one more passage. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. What does it mean? He ascended. What does it mean? But that he also descended to the lower regions, the earth. Here in Philippians chapter 2, powerful, powerful passage for us. Not only for our understanding of what Christ did, but for our understanding of how he wants us to live. Here in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection or sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind." How can Paul say that? Because God has already given that to us. "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself." How many know that's easy to do? Count others more significant than ourselves? Are you kidding me? Now, we may be able to count some people more significant than ourselves, but not this guy. "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." That's why this season of Thanksgiving and Christmas is a time of giving. It's a one time of the year when even the world thinks about other people. The interests of others rather than our own. Christians, it's a lifestyle. God changes us from being takers to givers. God changes us from being only concerned about my interests to being concerned about the interests of others. That's the miracle of salvation in us, because God is a giving God. God is a compassionate God. When his Holy Spirit comes in within us, we are being transformed into his likeness. We begin to think like he thinks and act like he acts. That's the new life that we have. Isn't that great? That's what Christianity is all about. That's the difference in Christianity and religion. Religion is people trying to do things for God. Christianity is God doing things through us. It's life. "So, let each of you look not to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves." Listen to the wording here. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." You've already got the potential to do this. Have this mind, or this attitude, among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. "Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." Compared to the greatness of God, we are nothing. We're nothing. Paul even said that when Paul was talking to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians. He says, "Why do you elevate men? Why do you keep lifting up people?" He says, "Apollos sowed and I watered, but God gives the growth." He says, neither the one who sows or the one who waters is anything. We're nothing. Only God who gives the growth. All the glory goes to God. Psalm 8, psalm writer David says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. And when I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers and the sun and the moon and the stars that you've made, what am I that you're mindful of me? What is man that you're mindful of us, or the son of man that you even care for us?" Psalm 8. "Lord, in all of your majesty and splendor, I look at the sky, I look at the heavens, I look at the Milky Way. Our entire galaxy is just a little bright dot in the universe. That's all it is a little dot. Our entire universe, our entire galaxy here. You created it all by the word of your mouth. Well, who am I that you even care about me? You know, with that kind of an attitude, that'll keep us from grumbling and complaining, shaking our fist at God. That'll even probably keep us from trying to counsel God. You ever try to counsel God? Lord, if you just listen to me, things would go a whole lot easier in my home, my family, or our church. You know, who are we that you even take thought of us? So Jesus made himself nothing. Almighty God, this is beyond what we can get our minds around. Was born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he, Almighty God, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Obedient to what? Obedient to the will of God to save people for himself. It was God's plan. Ooh, I have a lot of questions when I get to heaven. Do you have any questions to ask God? Even he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The most excruciating, the most humiliating death a person could go through. God endured. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So here's the pattern that Jesus gave us. He humbled himself and God exalted him. So it says in 1 Peter, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and he in due time will exalt you. I mean, it's a pattern. Take the lower place. It's so hard for us because we tend to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. That's just natural human nature. We're prideful by nature. So to take the lower place, to humble ourselves, brings the power of the Holy Spirit into our lives. God gives grace to the humble. That's what it means. That's part of walking in a manner worthy of the calling. God fills us with his Holy Spirit, and in due time, he exalts us. The world that's bad-mouthing Christians and calling us all kinds of names and persecuting us and beheading Christians around the world, one day they're going to understand, wait a minute, whoa. They had the truth. And every knee shall bow before the throne, before the presence of Almighty God. So then it goes on in verse 12, Philippians 2, therefore, because Christ has come, therefore, because he's humbled himself, therefore, because Christ gave his life on the cross for us, being Almighty God incarnate, he did this for us. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And so we just can't sit back and say, Lord, you just do it. God's word says, work it out. That means put forth energy is what that word literally means. Put forth effort into your walk where you're humbling yourself, where you're forgiving those who offend you when you don't feel like forgiving. You're trusting God to do what he wants rather than taking matters into our own hands. We are putting effort into our walk knowing that God is the one who's working in us for his good pleasure. It's a divine-human cooperation. And that's the call of God on our life. Praise God for that. So we're not working out our salvation in order to get to God. We can only do that through Jesus Christ, through his shed blood. But we are putting effort into our walk because of what he's done for us and letting him live his life through us. We want to be on the way, but not in the way, right? I want to get out of the way. My biggest job is getting out of his way. He humbled himself and he received glory. This verse is not in your notes, but I'm going to read this to you. 1 John chapter 5 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. The understanding that we have is a gift from God. That's what we're talking about. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Talk about a scripture that talks about the deity of Christ right there in 1 John 5:20. So, this is Jesus. This is what he has done for me. He has given me all these things. His presence. His direction. His word that's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I was asked a question yesterday at a men's meeting. He said, Doug, if there was one scripture in the Bible that you would say is the most important one to you, well, which one would that be? I mean, there's hundreds of them. But the first one on my mind was John 8:31-32. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciple. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's one of the most important scriptures to me. It indicates who's really his and who's aren't. They say, I believe in God. You ever read the word? No. Something's not right there. But if you continue in my word, you're truly my disciple, and you will know the truth. Praise God for the truth. And the more we know of God's word, the more we walk in freedom. So, and it's a gift to us. He's given us that. We have that already. So, the last part of Ephesians chapter 4 says, He who descended also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And that's exactly what God has done. He fills all things. He fills us. He meets every desire of the human heart. We have the message of hope. We can tell people you don't need another relationship that's going to disappoint you and wound you. You don't need a new job. You don't need a change of venue. You don't need to move in order to find some kind of peace in life. You need Jesus. He's the only one that can fill every desire in your heart. Everything that we want. Only He can do that. In Christ, we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In Christ, we are chosen and we belong to God. We don't have to be on the search for significance. There's a great book that I read years ago, I don't know if it's still in print, called The Search for Significance. People are on the hunt for that. On the hunt for some significance. We're not on the hunt any longer. We know we're significant because God has showed us His love. We are His. We have purpose. We have value because of Christ in us. We don't have to find our identity any longer. People are on the hunt for finding their identity. Our identity is in Christ. You know, trying to find your identity is like peeling an onion. You just peel back the layers of social influences, and you peel back the layers of family heritage, and you peel back the layers of education. You peel back all these layers like an onion. And when you get to the core of the onion, you know what's there? Nothing. There's no core in an onion. It's just a bunch of layers. That's all an onion is. People are on the search for finding their identity. They end up with nothing. And that's why it's so depressing. Okay? We're not on the to find our identity. We don't have to be on the hunt wondering about our purpose in life. We have purpose in life. We've already been given that. Praise God. He takes away those fleshly human drives and we can rest in Him and learn about Him. We're in the realm of the kingdom of God. Isn't that great? Every day. When we understand these things every day is full of praise. Every day we can get up and say, God, I can't wait to see what you have for me today. You're guiding me. You're directing me. You're giving me all I've needed to meet the challenges of this day. And the things that are out of my control, Lord, are absolutely in your control. Praise your name. Praise your name. That person who cuts me off on the highway, I don't have to ride his bumper for 2 miles. I don't have any control over that. I don't have any control over what people say to me or say about me. I don't have any control over the government. I have no control over ISIS, the situation in the Middle East. I got zero control. But you know who has control? God's got control. And I rest in Him. That's a life that I have. We don't live the way the world lives. Jesus said in Matthew 6, the world has to worry about life. There was a time when we had to worry about life, right? Can you remember when you had to worry about life? I remember when I had to worry about life. Jesus said the pagans, the unbelievers, have to worry about what job they're going to have, where they're going to eat, and what they're going to wear. But He said, not so my people. All you have to do is seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and everything else will be given to you. God is a giving God. You let the day's own trouble be sufficient. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. The more you think about tomorrow, the more you're going to be filled with fear and anxiety. You got no control over the future. I do, God says. You just take it one day at a time. You know what we have one day at a time? We got everything we need to handle that day in praise to God, walking in praise. We have His immeasurable riches. He's brought us near to God. He's broken down every wall of hostility. We have peace and unity. We are heirs with Christ, members of His church. We spent months going through these things already if you're part of Winter Park Christian. If you're not, go back and look at those first three chapters because they are awesome. And because of that, we now enjoy the fullness of Him who fills all in all, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God for His gift of grace to us. Praise God that He came to earth. Praise Jesus that He rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, proving He was Almighty God. And He is the life giver, and that's what we have in Him. Isn't God awesome? Let's bow for prayer today. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. Lord Jesus. Lord God Almighty, as we're just take a moment right now to think about Your Word, thank You for all that we have in Christ our Lord. Jesus, Your Word says all things were made through You and for You, and in You all things hold together. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You for that. Thank You for the unity that we already have as brothers and sisters. We set our hearts to maintain that. Thank You that You've given grace, supernatural ability to each and every one of us, Your people. We want to walk in that. Thank You for the gifts that You've given us, Lord, so undeserving. Thank You for all that we have in You, Jesus. And Lord, right now, You know the needs of everybody in this room. You know things we're wrestling with. You know the things that are causing fear or anxiety or frustration. You know it all. And You've called us to trust You. We've already sung before You today the fact that You said, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We need to do that. And we do that now. Lord God Almighty, by Your Holy Spirit, move among us as a congregation. Meet every need in this room. Healing, encouragement, strength, comfort, whatever the need might be. Deliverance, let it take place by Your power. For it's all for Your glory and for Your honor. We give You thanks for this today. Blessed be Your name, Lord. And Lord, if there's anyone in this room or listening to this message by another means, if they've never really embraced You as Lord and Savior, but what you're hearing makes sense, then God is drawing you to Himself. Don't spend another day without embracing Christ once and for all as the Savior and Lord of your life. God's Word said, if we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved means healed in every way, both now and for all eternity. You can do that right now. If you're in this room, don't hesitate another day. Come, we'll pray with you to seal that commitment to Christ this morning. Oh God, we give You thanks. And Lord, we sing this last song just in honor of You, Your amazing grace that You've given us. Thank You for this time. Be honored with this song in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen, Lord. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this last song.